Today's topic is Shavuos, and I want to really deal with Shavuos in a big, major, pretty substantive way. There are a lot of anomalies about Shavuos, things that are different, and I think that when you think about it, a lot of things about Shavuos really fit together really nicely and really, really deeply at the same time. And, okay, so you have a lot of source sheets in front of you, and okay, we're going to be discussing a lot of different ideas that all interconnect and blend into Shavuos, and I think we're going to have a nice conclusion that everything fits together, and the message is going to be that Shavuos is about accepting upon ourselves that the Torah should apply in every area of our lives. Everything that we do, every part of my daily life should be based on the Torah. And actually, you know, we're coming towards the end of the year. Rav Koopman Zatzal had one of his favorite lines was that for some people, Torah punctuates their life. That means that you go through your day, and then every now and then, there's something about the Torah that, I say a bracha, okay. I get to work and when I'm doing something at work, I try to be honest, that's a mitzvah. Time for lunch, I learn a few minutes during my lunch break, that's a mitzvah. When I'm driving to work, that's in between. That's not part of my Torah life. Things like that. And that's a mistake. The Torah is not supposed to weigh our lives, Rav Koopman would say. The Torah is supposed to permeate our lives. Permeate means that it's involved in everything. Everything we do is supposed to be inspired by and based on the Torah. And we'll see that when you think about it, this becomes really the theme of Shavuos, and many of the questions that arise about Shavuos all end up having this base as the answer, and let's go step by step. The Torah does not give a date for Shavuos. Doesn't give a date. Shavuos is the 50th day of, you know, Sfiras Omer. So, and the Gemara says that because of that, the actual date of Shavuos can fluctuate. It can be Hey Vav or Zion Sivan. In other words, it depends on how long Nisan and Iyar are. If Nisan and Iyar are both 30 days long, then Shavuos is on Hey Sivan. If Nisan and Iyar are 29 days long, then Shavuos is on Zion Sivan. When Nisan's 30 and Iyar's 29, then Shavuos is on Vav Sivan. In our calendar, that's always the way it is, that Nisan is 30 and Iyar is 29. But it's interesting that the actual date that we celebrate Shavuos is not crystal clear. Pesach is clear, Sukkot is clear, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Shavuos, the date can fluctuate a little. Moreover, and this is absolutely incredible when you think about it, there's actually a machlokes in the Gemara, which Rashi on the Chumash quotes, in the middle of Shmos Perek Yudtes, there's a machlokes, what was the date of Matan Torah? Was it Vav or Zayin Sivan? In other words, that first Matan Torah, the Matan Torah, when it happened at the beginning, that year was that day Vav or Zayin Sivan. There's a machlokas in the Gemara, a machlokas Tanoim. Now that's incredible. That means that we have lost the Masorah exactly when Matan Torah happened, the date. We all know, you know, the date that the Declaration of Independence was signed, and the date of this, the date of that. And here we have the date of the most important event of all time, period. And somehow Hashem worked it out in the Masorah that we've lost the Masorah of the definite date of when it happened. Was it Vav, or what we know was 50 days, you know, after they left Mitzrayim? Yeah, but was it Vav Sivan or Zion Sivan? Number two, and this is also very interesting, we have lost the Masorah. We have lost the Masorah. We've lost the Masorah where Matan Torah happened. Where's Har Sinai? We don't know for sure. We'll guess where they think it is, but we don't know for sure. That's amazing. This is the place where the Torah was given, and we're really not sure where it is. So it's fascinating that the date of the timing of Matan Torah is a little hazy. The place of Matan Torah is a little hazy. So what's the message? So Rabbi Shlomo Salanter says a very nice pshat, and this is the beginning of our analysis of Shavuos, and it's on page one, source number one. He says the Torah is given bizman bilti yadua and bemakom bilti yadua. Kidei lirmos bazeh she'ein haTorah tchuya lo bizman velo bemakom mishum shel itim krovos adam mora heter liatzmo kan ein yechayim usnai kamo babayis kan makom chavshi medina chavshit. You have to get used to this place here, or tzavich liest, you have to get used to this era. Therefore the Torah is given in a place that's not exactly known, and the timing is hazy, to teach you the Torah applies everywhere and at all times. Hashem purposely worked it out that the timing of Matan Torah is hazy and the placement of Matan Torah is hazy, so that we learn the message, the Torah applies everywhere, it applies all the time, it doesn't only apply on this date, it doesn't only apply in this place. By making the date and the place hazy, it makes it easier to absorb the message that it applies everywhere. By making the date and the place hazy, it makes it easier to absorb the message that it applies everywhere and all times. The Aruch HaShulchan adds on, it's source 1a, that the Torah was given in Chutz Laaretz, which is very interesting. Not only that, the beginning of Matan Torah was where? Where, this is an interesting question, by the way. Where did the beginning of Matan Torah happen? In Mitzrayim. The Matan Torah means receiving the Am Yisrael receiving the Torah as a nation. The first mitzvah we received as a nation was given to us on Rosh Chodesh Nisan in Mitzrayim. So Mitzrayim was the most tumah-filled place in the world. Chazal, based on the Chumash, give Mitzrayim a nickname, Ervas Haaretz. That was the nickname. That's not a pleasant nickname to have. And that's where the Matan Torah began. Why? The Rosh Shulchan writes, She'ena Torah Tuluya Tali B'makom U'midbar Huchutz Laaretz. The Torah is not dependent on a place. Oh, in a holy place in Eretz Yisrael, there is where a person has to keep the Torah. But in a place that's not so holy, no. The Torah is given in Chutz Laaretz. The Torah applies in Chutz Laaretz too. Obviously, it's better to do mitzvot in Eretz Yisrael than in Chutz Laaretz. That's all the Makoros say. And even in Mitzrayim, the worst place, the Torah applies. This fits with the famous Yesod of Rav Hirsch. This was Rav Hirsch's main theme in his writings. Rav Hirsch in the 1800s was fighting against the Reform, and the early Reform movement began by saying, look, the Torah is old-fashioned, the Torah is out of date, we have the modern world, and you have to touch up the Torah to blend into the modern world. And as opposed to Chas v'Shalom, you can't do that. The Torah is perfect, and we have to adjust our lives to fit the perfect Torah. So our first explained many things in the Chumash, and in Tanakh, and in Hashkafa, based on that Yesod. It's everywhere in his writings, everywhere. That could be a real master's thesis, to put together all of the places that Rav Hirsch discusses this theme, and all of the connections. In my book on Shmos, I have a 35-page Dvar Torah, I think it's that long, and I put together a lot of things, but it could be 100 pages. It could be more than 100 pages. So Rav Hirsch says that this might be one of the messages of why you can't remove the poles from the Aron. There's a lav in the Torah. You can never remove the poles from the Aron. Even when the Aron's at rest, you don't remove the poles. The Shulchan and the Menorah, you're allowed to take the poles off when it's at rest, but not the Aron. Why? So there are a lot of pshatim. Rav Hirsch says the pshat is to teach you, to symbolize, to teach us that the Torah is always ready to move. That same Torah that's in the Aron, we discussed in a different class. The Aron is gold, symbolizes perfection. The Luchos are stone, symbolizes staying the same. That old, perfect, never-changing Torah, that Torah is ready to go anywhere it needs to go. That's the message of the poles always being there. The Torah is always ready to move. You don't change it. It's there. It's always ready to move. So this is a beautiful idea about the date of Matan Torah is hazy, the basement of Matan Torah is hazy, and the message is the Torah applies everywhere, all the time. Good. Now, source number two. There is a famous question which is discussed in a lot of Sfarim. So I have here the Akedas Yitzchak. The Akedas Yitzchak is one of those Sfarim on the Chumash that's really, really long, long, long essays. Most people haven't learned the Akedas Yitzchak like inside, cover to cover, and know it. And I'm part of most people. So how do you find the Akedas Yitzchak? You find people who have learned it, who quote the best parts. So in Nechama Leibowitz, Aleiha Shalom, in her books, and she has very good Sfarim on the on Chumash, so she quotes as Akedas Yitzchak, that's how I found it, so it comes from there. Okay. He quotes here the famous question. The Torah doesn't tell us that Shavuos is Yom Matan Torah. That's incredible. The Torah doesn't tell us that Shavuos is Yom Matan Torah. Chazal tell us that's our Masorah. We know that's when it happened. This is the most important event of all time, and it happened on Shavuos. And that's what we're celebrating. How come the Torah doesn't mention it? Source number two. Yesh kan shelo chazaka. Lama lo pirsha Torah ki ayom hazeh hu chag ha-shavuos nizkar v'naseh l'zecha matan Torah ha-lukis v'kabalosa. Why doesn't the Torah tell us that? It's a pretty important detail to leave out. That's a famous question. Okay. So, there are a lot of answers to that question. We're going to focus on his second answer, because his second answer blends in perfectly with what Rabbi Sol Salanter says. He says as follows. It's by the second check in source number two. V'fisha zichron ha-Torah v'kabalasa eino lizman miyuchat kisharon yonei ha-mawadim ha-nizkarim rak mitzvasa b'chol yom v'b'chol eis v'b'chol shah. Every day. And he quotes Rashi, u'b'chol yom v'yom anu mitzuvin shiu chadashim v'chavivin b'einenu kiyom shenitna bo d'chziv ha-yom hazeh Hashem Elokecha Mitzavcha, as if it was given today. We're supposed to view Matan Torah as if it's happening every day. Let me explain. If someone says matzah, what do you think of? Pesach. Someone says lulav, what do you think of? Sukkos. Well, if the Torah would have emphasized that Shavuos is Yom Matan Torah, and that's what we're celebrating, then all of us, whenever we'd hear the words Matan Torah, would immediately think of only Shavuos. Because yeah, Shavuos. That's not what Hashem wants. When it comes to Matan Torah, we're not supposed to think of Shavuos. We're supposed to think of every day of the year. Matan Torah applies every day of the year. That's what Rashi says. Rashi, source 2a, it's in two places in Rashi and Devarim, in Perek Vav and Perek Kav Vav, that you should view it as if it was given today. We're supposed to view it as if the Torah was given today. Every day is Yom Matan Torah. And therefore, the Torah purposely, this is a very deep shot, de-emphasizes the fact that Shavuos is Yom Matan Torah. Because the Torah is supposed to be as if we're getting it every day. As if it's new today. And therefore, we don't want to over-focus on Shavuos. Now, we know it happened on Shavuos. Chazal tell us it happened on Shavuos. And we do celebrate it on Shavuos. That's true. But the fact that it's not mentioned and emphasized in the Chumash makes it easier to broaden the message. There's an amazing, beautiful vort from the Chiddushei HaRin. It's on page 2 of the booklet, source number 3, which is as follows. We say in our davening that Shavuos is called Zman Matan Torah Sein. Page 2 is on the back of page 1, and it's actually numbered. Okay, good. Now, there's another possible name we could have given to Shavuos. We could have called it Zman Kabbalas Torah Sein, the day the Torah was received. He says no. He says Zman Matan Torah Seinu is more precise. Why? Because Hashem gave us the Torah on Shavuos. We're supposed to view it as if we're receiving the Torah every day of the year. So to call Shavuos Zman Kabbalas HaTorah would be a little bit imprecise, because we're supposed to view the Torah and ourselves as if we received the Torah today. That is the day it was given, but it's as if we received it today. That's a beautiful diuk in the davening, that Shavuos is called Zman Matan Torah Seinu as opposed to Zman Kabbalas Torah Seinu. And that diuk fits perfectly with what the Akedas Yitzchak writes that we saw, that the Torah doesn't emphasize that Shavuos is Yom Matan Torah in order that we should not over-focus only, only on that day. Oh. There's a Kliyakar, the first page of the Makoros, source 2b. He has two comments that relate to what we just said. Number one, regarding Shavuos, the Torah uses the word Mincha Chadasha Lashem. The Mefarshim discussed that phrase. So he says, one shot is the idea that we're supposed to view the Torah as being new. Siman, this is not the Pashup shot of the word Chadasha in the Chumash. Siman l'yom matan Torah ki haTorah nira tzvichel yos chadasha eitzal adam b'chol yom ki wayom kibla miharsina. The Kliyakar says that one remez of the word chadasha by the word mincha in the Torah is these Rashi's that we saw, this Akedas Yitzchak that we saw, that we're supposed to view it as if the Torah is new every day. Then he mentions the same thing as the Akedas Yitzchak, which is the Torah never mentions Shavuos is Yom Matan Torah, and he mentions something else and connects it. There's another Yom Tov whose primary theme is not mentioned in the Chumash. One of the primary themes is not mentioned in the Chumash. What's that? Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the Yom Hadin. The Torah never says it's Yom Hadin. That's fascinating. Chazal tells us it's Yom Hadin, but the Gittorah never says Rosh Hashanah is Yom Hadin. Why? So the Kli Yakar says, because we know, Chazal tell us, that we're judged every day of the year. There's the more powerful judgment. There's a broader, deeper judgment on Rosh Hashanah that the Mishnayos and the Gemara and the Rishonim talk about. But the concept of being judged, we're always being judged by Hashem. He says, Lo yelech adam b'shrirus libo. I'm at the bottom of source 2b. He says, no, I'll just do tshuva before Rosh Hashanah. You have to understand, he says, you have to realize, Yidbe b'nafsho ki'ilu b'chol yom v'yom Hashem Yoshev al kisei hamishpat u'misbaker pinkaso. The idea is a year, kol yom v'yom b'tshuva. Every day there's a din going on. That's how we're supposed to feel. And therefore, we're supposed to be doing tshuva and trying to mend our ways all the time. So this is a beautiful, I think, deep message regarding Torah. Matan Torah applies every day, every place, every era. Again, this is our first whole theme. Don't think that the Torah doesn't apply in modern 19th century Germany. It does. We would say, don't say it doesn't apply in the 20th century in America. It does. 21st century. You're called millennials, okay? That's your name. That's what the books say, you're called millennials. Right? You've seen that word? You're from, in other words, there's the 50s, the 60s, the 80s, the 90s, and then there's the millennials people, okay? That's your name. Okay, good. What? Yeah, but you became like, in the 90s you were like 3 and 4, right? I'm not sure you were really holding by making, you know, hashkafic major decisions in life. Okay, now let's go on. Okay, now, next. So that's one major theme of Shavuos. Now, there's another major theme of Shavuos, and we're going to see that this other major theme of Shavuos, lo and behold, blends right in to the first theme. That's where we're going here. This other major theme, there's a Rabban class we've been discussing already, so we'll hear it again. Okay. On Shavuos, there is more of an obligation to eat and drink than on the other Yom Tovim. That's the punchline. On Shavuos, there's more of I'm going to explain that. There's more of an obligation to eat and drink than on the other Yom Tovim. I just heard a joke on Shabbos from a son of a cousin of mine. He said it fits that on Shavuos is when you have the greatest mitzvah to eat. On Rosh Hashanah, there's no time to eat. Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to eat. Sukkot, there's no place to eat. Pesach, there's nothing to eat. And Shavuos, you have everything. You have time, you have the food. It's not a bad joke. Not a bad joke at all. Now in the modern world, if you don't keep gebrachs, then Pesach, you've got everything. Okay, but it's a very nice joke. Rosh Hashanah, no time. Yom Kippur, nothing. It's also to eat. Sukkot, there's no place. It's not so comfortable. And Shavuos, so it works out that Chazal worked it out. Okay, I mean from Hashem. Yeah. What am I? Here's. Let's explain this. The Gemara says in Sukkah in Pesachim in Daf Samachas that there is a machlokes. What is the proper way to celebrate Simchas Yom Tov? Because one pasuk says that Yom Tov should be celebrated Lashem. Lashem means learn Torah, daven. Another pasuk says that Yom Tov should be celebrated lochem, for you, eat and drink, enjoy yourself. So what do you do if you have two psukim and there's no third pasuk which tells you what, you know, how to resolve them? What do you do? So Rabbi Yehoshua says, how we paskin, do both. Chatzi lashem, chatzi lochem. And all the Yom Tovim, that's how we paskin. On Pesach, on Sukkot, on Shavuos, there's an obligation to daven a lot, learn a lot, and eat and drink as well. That's how we paskin. Two psukim means both. Rabbi Eliezer is a Tana. He says, no, if you have two psukim, and there's no third pasuk to resolve it, so what do? You have a choice. This is a fascinating opinion. Rabbi Eliezer holds, you have a choice how to celebrate Simchas Yom Tov. Either you can eat, and obviously you have to daven every day, obviously. So either you can eat and drink a lot, a lot of lachem, and you just daven the regular basic davening, but most of the day is going to be lachem. Or you have the whole day lachem, learn, daven. You'll have a sandwich. Rav Schechter always says over his opinion that you'll have a sandwich, but you're not going to have any elaborate meal. Meaning either kulo lachem or kulo lachem. That's Rabbi Eliezer. Again, we don't paskin like him, but that's what he says. Then Mara says something fascinating. This Gemara is quoted all over the place. I don't think I have it here. The Gemara says that Rabbi Elazar, he's an Amora. Rabbi Elazar says that the entire machlokas between Rabbi Yehoshua and Rabbi Eliezer only applies to Pesach and Sukkos. But on Shavuos, Atzeres, Atzeres is the Gemara's nickname for Shavuos, everyone agrees, Kuli Alma Modi, everyone agrees, Bo'inami Lachem. You also need Lachem. You have to eat and drink a lot. In other words, the Gemara says that the Machlokes that I mentioned just now is really about Pesach and Sukkos. But Shavuos is different. Shavuos, even Rabbi Eliezer agrees you have to have a big meal on Shavuos. Why? My taima, Yom Shenitna Batorah. It's the day the Torah is given. That's what the Gemara says. My taima, why? Because it's Yom Shenitna Batorah. It's the day the Torah is given. That's the Gemara. Now, so what do you see in the Gemara? That on Shavuos, there's more of an obligation to eat and drink. Now again, now for us, it doesn't really matter because we hold that you have to eat and drink on Pesach and Sukkos too. But it's amazing. Some of the Achronim point out that we even have a halacha l'maisa nafka mina nowadays. There's something called a tainis cholam. You have a very bad dream. And you're scared about it. So sometimes a person will fast. We don't do it too often. So there is a view in the Achronim, there is a view, that a tiny scholom, if you have a bad dream on the night of Yom Tov, that on Pesach and Sukkos, you're allowed to fast, but on Shavuos, you're not. There is a view like that. It's quoted in the Achronim. Again, I'm not giving a psak, and we don't fast about these things too often, but there is a view, it's quoted in the Svarim, that a tiny scholom might be mutter on Pesach and Sukkos, but usher on Shavuos. Why? Because of this Gemara. Meaning, even though this Gemara is being said within the view that we don't accept, because we hold you always have to eat and drink, but there is an echo of this opinion, even halachu l'maaseh for us. That's a fascinating side point, not for now. Okay, so the obvious question is, why? Why is there a greater mitzvah to eat on Pesach and on Shavuos than on Pesach and Sukkos? And the Gemara says, because it's the day the Torah was given. We would have said, what would we have said? We would have said, just the opposite. The day of Matan Torah? More Kedusha? It should be less of a chiyuv to eat and drink. That's what we would have said. Oh. The truth is, though, it's not just this Gemara. The truth is, there are many sources which indicate that one is supposed to eat and drink at the time of Matan Torah. Another source is Purim. My Rebbe Rav Schechter Shlita always connects this Gemara to Purim. Purim is a massive mitzvah to eat and drink. How much wine you drink? It depends who you talk to. Talk to Rabbi David, you get one view, and talk to anyone else, okay. But Rabbi David's on one extreme here, which is, okay, I'm close to Rabbi David. Okay. Why is there such a mitzvah to celebrate on Purim? So, the Ksav Sofer says, and this is famous, Rav Schechter always quotes this Ksav Sofer. I thought I had this Xerox. I didn't. Okay. The Ksav Sofer says that the reason why there's a special mitzvah to celebrate eat and drink on Purim is because Purim is a day of Yom Matan Torah. Who says Purim is a day of Matan Torah? The Gemara says it. The Gemara says, Kimu v'kiblu. That that this is the Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Peches. There was a national rededication to the Torah on Shavuot, on Purim. And therefore, Purim is a day of Matan Torah. And therefore, we celebrate in a big way with eating and drinking, just like we eat and drink a lot on Shavuos, all, because it's a day of Matan Torah. Also, guys, where are the extra copies? More extra? Oh, okay. Also, on Shavuot, also on Purim, as a day of Matan Torah, there's a special obligation to eat and drink. It's a beautiful pshat. And this pshat is not some pshat from left field that no one ever else had heard of. Rav Schechter and others point out, Rav Nemesal has this in his Sefer as well. This pshat is the official pshat of the Rama. The Rama wrote a Sefer called the Darkei Moshe. It's the Rama's Sefer on the Torah. And in Hilchos Purim, at the bottom of the page, the Rama quotes this idea that the reason we have a special obligation to eat and drink on Purim is because it's day of Matan Torah. So this pshat is the official of the Rama, which gives it a lot more oomph. The Rama quotes a minhag in the Shulchan Aruch that it's tov to learn a little before the Purim Suda. That's what it says. Why? Because it says, Vayhudim Haisa, Ora, V'simcha. Ora is Torah, and Simcha is the Simcha of the Suda. So a little Torah before the Simcha. Rav Nemesal writes in one of his Svarim that when he was younger, he asked his Rebbe, how come only a little? It should have said, Tov to learn a lot of Torah. That's the kind of question Rav Nemesal would ask when he was a kid. Okay. Anyway. So I thought that based on this Darkei Moshe, we can have a beautiful, deep explanation of the Rama. What's the beautiful, deep explanation? Why is it a good idea to learn a little before the Purim Suda? Because that's what you're celebrating. You're celebrating Matan Torah. Yeah, so learn a little and then have the Suda. I told this word with Rav Nemesal Shlit, and he said, Yafema Od. He liked it a lot. Okay. Well, so you have Shavuos and you have Purim. There are more examples. We make a Siyum. The Ramban quotes this, and the Chumash, the end of Mishpatim, at a Siyum make a big party. Why? Because there is this same idea. You're supposed to say it in a physical way, Bezman Matan Torah, eating and drinking, enjoying it. And the ultimate example, according to the Ramban, is Matan Torah itself. The Chumash says in Shmos, Perakuf Dalet Pasuk Yer Aleph, that Nadav Avihu and the Zakenim ate and drank Bizman Matan Torah. Vayechazu Atalokim, Vayochu Vayishtu. They ate and drank Bizman Matan Torah. Was that a good thing or a bad thing? Oh, bad thing. You guys are brainwashed by Rashi. If you have to be brainwashed by somebody in life, Rashi is a fabulous choice. If you go through life living your life based on Chumash and Rashi, you're going to be more than okay. So I'm happy you said it's a bad thing, you're brainwashed by Rashi, which is good. However, the Ramban argues. The Ramban there on the Chumash says it was a good thing. The Ramban says it was a mitzvah to celebrate, because that's what he writes, Bizman Matan Torah. Look it up. We spent 3 weeks on this in Ramban class. The Ramban says there's a mitzvah to celebrate Bizman Matan Torah. And that's why they ate and drank. And it was a good thing, the Ramban says. And not only that, and this is amazing, Rashi agrees to the Ramban that supposed to eat and drink Bizman Matan Torah. Who says? The Mizrahi says, and he's the Perush on Rashi. Again, what I'm going to say now, in 2 minutes, we spent 4 or 5 weeks on in Ramban class, but it's just in 2 minutes. If you learn Yisro Perik Yud Ches carefully, it comes out that according to Rashi, they ate on Yom Kippur that first year. That's what Rashi says. They ate on Yom Kippur. And the Ramban doesn't like it. Ate on Yom Kippur. So the Mizrahi on Rashi says, you know why they ate on Yom Kippur? Because when you celebrate Matan Torah, It's such an important chiyuv to eat, it overrides Yom Kippur. That's what the Mizrahi says. Pshat and Rashi is. That's what he says. He quotes it based on a Gemara, that's what he says. So not only does Rashi not argue on the Ramban, he agrees in a big way with the Ramban. Ah, you're asking, if Rashi agrees, then how come by Nadav ben Avihu he says they were punished, it was a bad thing? So that took us 4 months to explain. That we're not going to try to explain now. That was the whole semester of Ramban, was to answer that question. Okay, but that we're not going to do now. But this is a major yesod. Shavuos, Purim, making a siyum, Nadav ben Avihu. You're supposed to celebrate Bisman Matan Torah. We've established that. Why? There are two pshatim. There's the simple pshat, which is important, and you have to know it, and it fits into the broader theme also. Then there's the second pshat, which is the deeper pshat, which is exactly the broader theme. The simple pshat, which Rabbi Nachman Zal always quotes, is the reason why there's a chiyuv to eat and drink, and you should say this over at your Shavuos Sudas, the reason why there is an extra special obligation to eat and drink on Shavuos is to show that we're happy, we're besimcha. A person who's stressed out can't enjoy a good meal. When you're stressed out, you grab a candy bar, and then you feel more depressed and more stressed out a half hour later. But to enjoy a good meal, you're in a good mood. Ah, life is good. I have good food. I have cheesecake. Ah, this is amazing. You're in a good mood. I'm happy. I got the Torah. It's the greatest gift. Without Torah, life ends up for the most being meaningless. It gives you sipuk ha-nefesh. It gives you a life of meaning. It gives you a chance to connect with Hashem. It gives you olam haba. Olam haba lasts forever. Matan Torah means we all have a chance to achieve olam haba. It's not that hard to do. Learn. Say brachas before you eat. Have a little kavanah davening. And then you get haba. Wow. God's amazing. You get olam haba by eating. You have to say it. And you're eating matzah. Okay, well, it depends how much you enjoy matzah. But Korach, and you put on a lot of lettuce, and you put on a lot of charoses. And then you have a nice Pesach meal. You get olam haba for enjoying Pesach. It literally doesn't get better than that. It doesn't get better than that. You're eating chont on Shabbos, and you're getting onik Shabbos, and so I'm going to get schar and olam haba for enjoying my chont. Wow. You have to like pinch yourself. Wow, is this like really happening? The answer is it is, and we should wake up and take advantage. Okay, but that's... I'm speaking to myself more than I'm speaking to you. So this is the simple pshat. Be happy to show you're happy. And that's what the Ksav Sofer says. The Ksav Sofer says that most of the Jews weren't eating the day of Matan Torah. What does the Gemara say? Kaf aleim ha'ar kegigis. Hashem picked up a barrel, picked up the mountain like it was a barrel and was taken on their heads, accepted or else. So we were stressed. So the top so afraid. We were stressed out. We weren't in the mood to eat. We weren't eating. Nadav ben Avihu and the Zakenim were happy to get the Torah. So that's why they ate. You got it? For them, they didn't have to be forced on them. They were happy to get the Torah. They weren't stressed out. One of my students said, yeah, they weren't stressed out because they were on the mountain. That's not bad. That's not the MS, but that's not a bad joke. They were on the mountain. Hello, we're going to kill you. They're up on the mountain. Whatever. Anyway, it's a good joke. So that's the Pashup shot. Thank Hashem that you're Jewish. We have a Torah. It guides our lives. It gives us, we live in a crazy world. Totally crazy, insane world. Where people think that black is white and white is black, and we have a little clarity about what's the right thing to do, what's the wrong thing to do. There was a video that went around that everyone saw. I, Bashita, didn't watch it, even if it wasn't Kolisha. These two young ladies did a rap about Dor Yesharim. So I read an article about it by Rabbi Yaakov Menken. Shalita, great article. People said, oh, they were complaining about they're going to be poor and they're morbid because they mentioned their deathbed and getting by on $300 a week or a month or whatever for food. So he said, no. But they were joking about the fact those are the lives that they're going to lead. These girls wanted to lead very strong Torah lives, and they don't care so much if they're wealthy. And when you die, to say to yourself, hey, you know, I lived a good, religious, spiritual, productive life, is a great thing. And he said, wait, where am I going here? Right. And he said, these young ladies actually want to be mommies and bubbies. Wow. Nothing wrong with that. So they have their heads screwed on straight. They're living by the Torah. And they did, and they expressed it in a, apparently in a, in what's the word? They were good. Apparently they were good in how they expressed it. Okay, anyway. Now, there's a whole other discussion about that, you know, that life is, and also, by the way, they didn't do anything wrong. They didn't do anything wrong. It was among friends. Somebody pressed the wrong button, and it got out to the whole world, and they're embarrassed about it. But they didn't do anything wrong. They were expecting beautiful Torah hashkafas. They have a Torah. They have their head screwed on straight. They don't want to be men. They want to be women. And they want to be mommies and bubbies. And they want to, when they get old, say, you know, I led a productive life. They might also do something else to make a living too. That wasn't, I don't know if that was discussed. And they don't mind being poor so much because they want to lead a Torah lifestyle. Anyway. It's good to have the Torah. It's the greatest gift. You got it? Okay. That was some end of the year brainwashing, but what can I, okay, now. But there's another pshat, and there's a very deep pshat, which many, many achronim say. There's another pshat, and there's a very deep pshat, which many achronim say, that the reason why there's a special obligation to eat and drink on Shavuos, because it's the day of Matan Torah, is in order to emphasize and to highlight that the purpose of Matan Torah is to be Mekadesh, the Gashmius world. The purpose of the Torah is to apply it here in the Gashmius world. So the way we emphasize that Nakuda is by saying, yeah, on Matan Torah, don't fast, don't run away, eat and drink, to show you're being Mekadesh, the Gashmius world. That's why there's a mitzvah, a special mitzvah to eat and drink. Who says this? Many, many achronim say this in a variety of ways. For example, Rav Zevin, in his Sefer, L'Tor V'Muadim, quotes a Medrash that Hashem came down on our Sinai, and the Medrash says, Yerida L'Tzarech Aliyah. What does that mean? So Rav Zevin says, Hashem came down on our Sinai, brought the Torah down so that we raise up the world back up to the Shemayim. Let me explain this. The world has wood in it, and it has paper in it. It has whatever is used in pencils. It's not lead, whatever it is. Graphite. And so, okay, wood, paper, graphite. When you're taking notes during the class, and you're writing Divrei Torah, you're being Mekadesh the paper. You're being Mekadesh the desk. You're being Mekadesh the graphite. You're making the world a holier place. That's an incredible concept. You're being Mekadesh the physical. And we're going to see this. This makes us godlike. We're going to see this in a minute. It's not the truth. We're godlike. That's what God did. God was Mekadesh the world when he brought Kedusha into the world. We're doing the same thing. So, and Rav Zevin says, the reason why we eat and drink on Shavuos, the reason why Bo'atzeres Bo'enami Lechem, is to emphasize, yeah, that the purpose of the Torah is to be Mekadesh, the physical world. David HaMelech, it said, had a harp of 10 strings, Ali Asur, a harp of 10 strings. A harp symbolizes music, harmony. So Rav Zevin says the following idea. We have the number 10 other places. There were 10 Dibros and 10 Mamaros to create the world. So Rav Zevin, it's not a coincidence. 10 Mamaros to create the world, 10 Dibros, Hashem gave the Torah, and the 10 strings. So what he says, what does he say? He says that when you live in this world, Olam Hazeh, the 10 Mamaros, based on the Torah, the Aseret HaDibros, you have the perfect harmony, the perfect blending of Torah in the Gashmius world. And the 10 strings, each string represents a blending, a merging of one of the Aseret HaDibros with one of the Ma'amaros. In other words, the most perfect, beautiful life a person can lead is, I'm in Olam Hazeh, and I'm living my life based on the Torah. So everything I do, my life is permeated by Torah. Everything I do, there's Ruchnias. I'm creating Kedusha, everything I do. I'm in the physical world, I have a table, I have a chair, I have a car with Bluetooth. You turn on the car, and who starts talking? Rav Schefter starts talking. It's unbelievable. So you're Mekadesh Bluetooth. It's Gan Eden. That's a beautiful shot, by the way. That's a very beautiful drush. That the 10 strings represent the blending of the Ruchnias of the Torah with the Gashmias of Olam Hazeh, and it ends up being the perfect harmony. Then the Mesha Chachma. The Mesha Chachma in Shmos Perakuf has a long discussion of this topic. And he says a lot of things. I'll just mention some of them. And he says, Vayichul Hashemayim Va'aretz. Vayichul, Hashem finished the world. Vayichul means to finish. Vayichulu. But the word Vayichulu also comes from the root of Tachlis. Tachlis means the goal of the world. So the Mesha Chachma says, yeah, that Hashem made the world in 6 days, but there wasn't Kedusha yet. Then Hashem gave us Shabbos. And when Hashem gave us Shabbos, He was bringing Kedusha into the world, and that's when the world achieved its tachlis, its purpose of Kedusha in the Olam Hazeh. That's really, really nice. So Vayichulu doesn't only mean Hashem finished, it means Hashem brought the world to its tachlis, to its goal of having Kedusha within the Gashmias world. The Mesha Chachma quotes a Maimer Chazal that when a person keeps the Torah, the lashon is, he becomes a shutuf in Maisa Bracious. A shutuf, a partner in Maisa Bracious. What does that mean? He says, this is what it means. This is how we're godlike. When you apply the Torah in Olam Hazeh, you become a shutuf in Maisa Bracious. Maisa Bracious means Hashem made the world and then He gave us Shabbos. Hashem brought Kedusha into the world. So every time we keep another halacha, every time the Dayan gives a psak about how to apply the Torah, he is bringing more Kedusha into that part of the world. He is a partner in creation, a shutuf in Maisa Bracious. That's a fabulous pshat. And then he says something, and this is a beautiful idea to say over on Shavuos. He says the very deep pashipshat of a famous Gemara. There's a famous Gemara that has the deepest pshatim. He gives the deep pashipshat of the Gemara. The Gemara I have here, it's the Gemara in Shabbos. Oh, whoops. Let me make this happen. It's on page 3, source number 1. There's a world famous Gemara which describes Matan Torah. The Gemara says that Moshe went up to Har Sinai to get the Torah. And the Gemara describes the reaction of the Malachim. The Malachim said, what's he doing here? The Lashon is, Malirudisha Beinenu, what's this person doing here? So Hashem says to answer them. And Moshe says, I'm afraid. Hashem says, don't worry, hold on to the Kisya covered and you won't get killed. He said, okay. So the Gemara records a debate between Moshe and the Malachim. This is a world famous debate. And Moshe says to the Malachim, tell me Malachim, what does it say in the Torah? So it says, don't do work on Shabbos. So Moshe says to the Malachim, do you work during the week that you have to rest on Shabbos? What else does it say? It says, honor your parents. Moshe says to the Malachim, do you have parents that you have to honor? What else does it say? It says, lo tirtzach, lo tinaf, lo tignov. Moshe says, do you have kina? Yetzer hara yesh b'nechem? Do you have a yetzer hara? And they said, no. Miyad hodu lo, l'kadosh baruch hu. Malachim said to us, to Hashem, you're right. Moshe deserves the Torah. That's the Gemara. So the Meshech Chachma gives the Pashup Shat of this Gemara. This is the Pashup, and the Pashup Shat is that the Gemara is saying, Moshe was saying to Malachim, Malachim, you're holy. You don't live in Olam Hazeh. You don't have a Yetzirah. You don't need the Torah. It's not made for you. It's made for us down here. We need it. We live in Olam Hazeh. We live in a world of confusion. We live with Yetziraras. We need the Torah to guide us, to help us be have more Kedusha here in Olam Hazeh. We have the Yetzirah. We have the Taivas. We have things that we have to work on. So we need the Torah to guide us. That was the debate. That's what was happening up in Shemayim. It's a beautiful, beautiful, again, that's the simple, very deep shot of the Gemara. There are other more Kabbalistic shotim. That's the Meshech Chachma. So this is what it means, why you eat and drink on Shavuos, to show that the purpose of the Torah is to apply it here in Olam Hazeh. You can achieve ultimate ruchnius within Olam Hazeh. Okay, there are other very deep ideas here as well in the Emes Liakov and Gracious Perek Beis, but I'm not going to do it right now. Oh. So I think that this Yesod of Shavuos blends perfectly into the first Yesod we developed in the first 20 minutes of this year. We live in Olam Hazeh. That's where we live. We're stuck. 24/7, we're in Olam Hazeh. And when you emphasize that the purpose of the Torah is to apply the Gashmius world, that's another way of saying the Torah applies all the time. It applies everywhere, every minute of the day. It applies when you're sleeping. There are halachas about how to sleep. Rav Nemtzel always says, yeah, if when you go to sleep, you have in mind for 1 second, for 10 seconds, I'm going to sleep now, so that when I'm in the morning, I'll have koach to say brachos and serve Hashem. That 10 seconds, boom, gives you 5 hours of mitzvos when you're sleeping. Seminary 2 hours, whatever it is. When you're 2.5 hours of sleeping, it's mitzvos. It's amazing. 10 seconds is all it, more or less, when you say Kriyat Shema Mita. 10 seconds is all it takes. I think it's correct that this other yesod, this deep shot as to why you're supposed to eat and drink Bezman Matan Torah, blends in perfectly to the first yesod. The Torah applies everywhere, at all times, in all eras, every second of the day. We live in Olam Hazeh. Physical. How do we act? How do we dress? How do we use the gashmias that we have? Everything. And that's the idea. That's what Torah is supposed to be. It's supposed to permeate our lives. And that's why you eat and drink on Shavuos, to emphasize, to apply the Torah here in our ordinary daily lives here at Olam Hazeh. Well, there's a third famous question about Shavuos, which is discussed. And again, I think Rav Hirsch's answer to this third question blends in perfectly as well. Okay. Rav Hirsch has a theme in his writings that I mentioned earlier, that everything is about applying, being inspired to apply Torah in ordinary daily lives. He has this theme all over the place. That you go to the Beis HaMikdash and you're inspired, and the goal of the inspiration is to take it with you when you leave. Shesulim beBeis Hashem, beChatzros Elkeinu Yafrichu. You always feel rooted in the house of Hashem, and you blossom in the courtyards, out there in what he calls the outside world, real life. And he has many examples of this. Rav Hirsch says this is the message of the month of Cheshvan. Cheshvan is so bland. Nothing happens in Cheshvan. Not even a fast day. Nothing. It's a boring month, and especially after Tishrei. Whew! Tishrei, every day is something big happening. So, Rav Hirsch says that Cheshvan is when Cheshvan represents daily real daily life. After the month of Tishrei, with all the Yom Tovim, the challenge is to bring it into ordinary daily life. Tishrei is the month of inspiration. Cheshvan is the month of application. Oh, that's why nothing happens in Cheshvan. That's the whole point. Hashem knows what He's doing. Don't forget that. Hashem knows what He's doing. Hashem says, I'm going to put Cheshvan after Tishrei. When are you going to see how good your davening on Rosh Hashanah was? See if you can avoid Lashon Hara in Cheshvan a little better than you used to. How good was your simcha in the sukkah and mitzvahs of sukkah? Are you more patient with your kids and your spouse in Cheshvan, etc.? That's why Cheshvan, nothing happens. Cheshvan represents ordinary daily life. Bland, ordinary daily life, which is supposed to be inspired by the month of Tishrei. So, this brings us to the third question. The first question was, why the Torah sort of hides when Matan Torah happened and Shavuos and where it happened. The second question was, why the emphasis on eating, drinking on Shavuos? And the third question is, why is there no mitzvah on Shavuos? No mitzvah. There's no mitzvah d'oraisa outside the base, unique to Shavuos, outside the base Hamikdash. And in the base Hamikdash is a korban you offer. Nothing happens. We say Kiddush. Kiddush means it's holy, you can't do malacha. No yom tov, no mitzvah. There could have been a mitzvah to kiss the Torah. That would have been a nice mitzvah. There could have been a mitzvah to stand up for the Torah. Imagine, every year on Shavuos, you take the Torah and you stand up and says a bracha. There could have been a mitzvah like that. We have a mitzvah of cheesecake, okay, but leaving that aside. There's no mitzvah on Shavuos. Why not? So our first says, no mitzvah on Shavuos. This is the flip side of the Akedas Yitzchak. This is the flip side of the Akedas Yitzchak. Let me read it inside, then I'll explain it to you. Hashem has dedicated the Torah, that's where the arrow is, to be the soul of our whole life, the invisible gentle flame of our whole being, which permeates. Ooh, oh my gosh, look at that. That's the word. Oh my gosh, look at that. The shir begins and ends with this. That's great. Oh, wow, that's Hashgacha. That's our Leil Shabbos Hashgacha thing. I told you that idea? Leil Shabbos Hashgacha. So I'll bring it, I'll say it again. But we'll get back to the piece from Rav Orlowitz. Which permeates our homes and animates and molds our being. And just as you can find organs for all sensual functions of life, and it will look in vain for an organ which is the bearer of the soul, because the whole human organism is its bearer, etc. So also the Torah, the soul of Israel, is a national entity. It is not limited to a special day or a week or a month, because the whole of Israel's life belongs to it and is regulated by it. Any localization within this life would but limit the realm of the Torah. When I say Pesach, what do you think of? If I say Sukkot, what do you think of? Oh, when I say Shavuos, cheesecake. But no, why? That's what we do. If there was a mitzvah to arisa on Shavuos, then when you think of Shavuos, your immediate reaction would be, that mitzvah to arisa. That's not what it's supposed to be. That would localize. When you hear Shavuos, you're supposed to say, all of life. Everything is Shavuos. So when you say Shavuos, you're not supposed to think of a particular mitzvah. You're supposed to say Shavuos, ooh. That affects my whole life. Everything in my life is permeated by the Torah. And that's why there's no mitzvah associated with Shavuos. Because it's supposed to permeate our entire lives. This is what Shavuos is about. Matan Torah is not focused on it. This is another deep idea. The Yom Tov of learning Torah happens to be Shmini Atzeres. That's a different topic. Matan Torah is about accepting upon ourselves that my entire life is permeated by Torah. We celebrate it by learning the whole night, which is a good way to celebrate anything. But Matan Torah means my whole life is permeated by Torah. It's not in one day of the year. It's not in one place. It's not in one era. It's in every part of my physical life. And it's not in one mitzvah. It's everything that I do is supposed to be permeated by the Torah. And that's how everything fits. So I think that again, there are many things that fit in here. I'll just mention one more thing from our first. This is in the book on Shemos. If you live this way, then you'll have the Shechina in your life, which is what we want. We want to have to be close to Hashem. If you read Parshas Truma and Tetzaveh, it's something very strange. Truma, you build the Mishkan. Tetzaveh starts the Avodah in the Mishkan, the Kohanim and the Begadim and the Avodah. Then the Shechina comes. You have the Mishkan, the Avodah, you have the Shechina. But before the Shechina comes, five or six psukim, the Karban Tamid. Why is the Karban Tamid there? Rav Hirsch says, you know why? Because if you want to achieve the Shechina in your life, you need the day-to-day service of Hashem, symbolized by the Karban Tamid. Not the fancy Yom Tov, every day, day-to-day, then you get to the Shechina. In my book on Shmos, I quote a lot more about that. This is what Shavuos is about. Being mekabel on ourselves, nasa v'nishma. What Rav Hirsch writes, that the Torah is going to permeate my life. It applies in this era. It applies in Israel. It applies in America. It applies in England. It applies today. It applies tomorrow. Every day is Yom Matan Torah. I should be excited today, like the day the Torah was given. It applies when I eat. It applies when I'm sleeping. The Torah applies when you're sleeping. It's amazing. And I can bring Kedusha into every part of my life. I can mean Kedusha to every part of my life. I'm taking a walk. What do I choose to listen to? I'm taking my nice power walk up all the way up from here up to Hapiska. Oof. Straight uphill. That's a serious power walk. And what do I listen to when I'm taking that walk? Torah permeates my life. And that's why there's no mitzvah on Shavuos. The mitzvah would localize and focus the impact. So this, I think, a deep approach to Shavuos. There are more things that we didn't mention. This is a major, major yesod and really in all of life, and Baruch Hashem to take with us as the year is coming to an end. Okay.